still talking about rejecting the grasshopper mentality, and of course next week's Easter, and so I'm still trying to figure out. I'm asking God to show me which way to go with Easter next week, because I'm not sure which way to go at it. But afterwards, we're going to finish this up, because there is a lot of people are being attacked with the grasshopper mentality. It's just a terrible thing that is going on. Thank you, brother. You the man. We got all the gadgets. You think that Inspector Gadget would remember all the gadgets, but sometimes you just can't remember all the gadgets. We get in here and start playing music and forget all about everything else. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Let's try to sing it. There we are. You know, there was a nursing home. A nursing home. People talk about, let's do this first. Get your Bible out. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. You know, somebody said Numbers, they don't really think Numbers should count, but they didn't count, why did God write a book called Numbers? Numbers chapter 13. Stand for the reading of the word. Numbers 13. We'll start at verse 26. And the wind came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation to the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and it brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of land. In other words, somebody say God's promises are true.
God's promises are true.
And they told him and said, we came into the land where thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, when you start seeing that word nevertheless, watch out. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are wrought and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and the Termites dwell by the wood. You say, well, you're listening. All right. Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before God, Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we will be able to do it. Now, hey, if he stilled the people, that means that there was a big ruckus going on. They saw all the fruit, they saw what was going on, but they also heard this evil report, this negative report, and people will latch on to a negative report versus a positive report very quickly. I found out that a lie can go around the world twice before a truth gets a chance to put its shoes on. Alright? So and Caleb stilled the people before Moses, said, let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. How many has ever said, God won't allow any more on you than you can handle? Don't raise your hand. Because that's not scriptural. I hear it all the time, it's not scriptural. The truth is, God does allow more on you than you can stand. Many times, because if he didn't, then he wouldn't need him. Yes. So I thank God that he trusts me enough, not only let me have more than I can handle, so I have to trust him, but I also know that he can help me with that I cannot handle very much better than I can on my own. So the men went up with him and said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in there are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Y'all say own sight. And some we were in their sight. You see, it didn't say that we were at grasshoppers in their sight, and some we were in our sight. It said we were grasshoppers in our sight, so they responded to us the way we see ourselves. Don't be surprised. Many times through a battle, then the devil's responding to the way you see yourself.
Right.
All right? So let's give you a prayer. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well on the throne, God. We know, Lord, there's nothing, nothing, nothing impossible for you. We ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to anoint us, God, to help us understand that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The world is going to be strong. The world is going to be powerful. But it cannot compare to the strength that's within us. Not our own strength, but in the strength provided by the Savior. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint, to have your will and to have your way. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We pray, the church said,
amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. You can be seated. Get on a hand clap and pray. There was a nursing home in Florida, and the resident group was discussing the giants in their own life. The giant ailments, actually, in their life. One person said, my arm was so weak, I can hardly lift this cup of coffee. Yes, I know my cataracts are so bad, I can't even see my coffee. The other says, I can't even turn my head and drink my coffee because arthritis is so bad in my neck. Another guy said, my blood pressure pills make me dizzy. Another guy looked at him and said, I guess that's just the price we pay for getting old. Everyone agreed except for one woman who said, well, it's not that bad. Thank God we can all still drive. Woo! Woo! Don't do that. Woo! God's good. Okay, just a few slides. You might not see these slides again, but we got to get, I weren't here last week, so we got to kind of get some continuity going here. Here they are to bring them back, the fruit they had to bring it back on sticks between their shoulders because they were so big. And good, God was about to, actually watch this now, God's best was about to come. So this is the divine mission. God sent the best of the best, 12 spies, a leader from each tribe, the best of the best. But the best of the best became the worst of the worst because they left God out of the equation. Think about this. Have you ever started out with good intentions? Remember, they were there for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is the time of trial. Number of trial. How many times, again, like I told you earlier, you start out with good intentions, you start out saying, I got this, God, you got this, I thank you, God, praise you, God, hallelujah. And after a couple of days, you're going, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. About 3 or 4 weeks, you're going, is God even here? Because that's our human nature. But the whole time, Satan has not let up. He's still getting with it. So, the best of the best, the leaders of the tribes, became the worst of the worst because they left out God in the equation. So, this is the grasshopper mentality. And we saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Enoch came from Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Just remember, how you see yourself is exactly how Satan sees you. Amen? So the grasshopper mentality, it is self-defeating, it is self-limiting, it messes up your perception of what's going on around you, and it shows how we carry ourselves and our abilities. When you're self-defeating, when you're self-limiting, when you've got a different perception of yourself and God, you carry yourself like that. And Satan sees it, the world sees it, the people around you see it, and I promise you, when you've got a grasshopper mentality, you are not actually being enthusiastic to anybody. All right? So now, here's Israel. Israel, yeah, there, look at that, ain't that cute? There's the giants and there's the children of Israel, little bitty grasshoppers. All right. Israel standing on the brink of the promised land. They have an 11-day journey. I'll say 11. An 11-day journey to step over into God's promises. 11 days. 11. I can't say it enough. 11 days. Now, so they're standing on the brink of the promised land. They got an 11-day journey that they're going to have to go and walk over to the promised land. They've been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. They've been led through the Red Sea. They're approaching the promised land full of milk and honey. But instead of stepping forward, they hesitated. Why did they hesitate? It's because they saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw the giants. And again, here we go. Well, God won't allow more on us. He says he won't allow more on us than we can handle. He does. A lot of times, he does. But that's because he wants you to trust him and lean on him and let him do what he wants to do in your life. So here they are. They saw the giants. And when they saw the giants, their perception of their self and their perception of God caused an 11-day journey to become a 40-year march in the wilderness. 1 year for every day they checked it out. 40 days they checked it out. 40 years they marched. And around 400 people, 445 people, anybody 20 to 20 years old and up, they died and never got a chance to see the promised land. So for 40 years, it was a 40-year funeral march. Every day they buried 500 people because of lack of faith. Can you imagine? March a little bit, have some funerals, get up, march a little bit more the next day, have some funerals, get up, march another day, have some funerals, have some battles, have some funerals. Wow. Pulling up here, bro. What's going on here? This thing getting kind of crazy on me. This is the mentality that we often adopt in our lives. We see challenges, we see obstacles, giants in our lives, and we begin to feel small, insignificant, nobodies. Have you ever felt like a nobody? Have you ever felt like when things are happening around you, you think, well, I sure wish I had the faith of Steve. I sure wish I had the talent of being with these people. I wish I could. I wish I had it, but I don't. I'm a nobody. Let me tell you something. You got Jesus with you. You are somebody. It don't matter. We don't all have the same talent. We don't all have the same gifts, but we all have the same Savior. That's Jesus Christ. And he makes us more than capable to meet any of that challenge that comes to us. So look at our abilities, look at our strength. Here we go. Here we are, we're grasshoppers. You know, but this is not how God sees it. So watch, get ready. I told you, this is from last week before last. Get ready. Here it comes. Don't say, here it comes.
Here it comes.
Say, Lord of power, Pastor. Lord of power. You already told me, Lord. So here it goes. Get ready. How many is there right now? How many feels like you pushed the big old rock up a hill? The challenges that are before you. The struggle that is before you. The things that you're having to put up with right now is like pushing that big old rock up that hill. God, here it comes. God left giants in the promised land for one purpose. To produce struggle.
I thought he said he was going to give us a land flowing with milk and honey.
It was. But he said you're going to have to take it. But Jesus says, occupy till I come. That's a military term, meaning to take back what has been stolen until I get back with you. God left giants in the promised land to produce struggle in our life. Doesn't God love me? Doesn't God want me to have the best? Doesn't God want me to be able to be all right, my family be fine, blah, blah, blah? No, let me just tell you, he wants all that, yes. But he just doesn't want to hand it out like candy. Let me explain something about struggle. God knows the lack of struggle produces spiritual weakness. A lack of struggle, you lose your spiritual edge. A lack of struggle produces thanklessness. Think about the kids nowadays. Some of the kids has never had to do anything. Never had to work hard. Never had to do anything. Everything was given to them. Their parents just went ahead and fixed everything they messed up. And now they don't know how to handle things when they're coming at them. And when their parents are gone, they're going to be in trouble. It causes spiritual laziness. So God left giants in the land to take care of that. Matter of fact, as a child, child of God, you must learn to embrace the struggle. Don't shout me down. There's a time you go, all right, go ahead. You must learn to embrace the struggle, because without struggle, there is no progress. So let's just go a little bit further, because we're talking about the promised land and what was going on in that promised land. He left those giants in there to produce struggle. Why? Here it goes again. Because they needed to learn how to fight. They had a slave mentality when they went into the promised land. They had a slave mentality. That's why they looked like grasshoppers, because they had a slave mentality. And so God was trying to get rid of that slave mentality. Some of us in here today, you've got a slave mentality. You get somewhere down the line, you got beat up, you got knocked up, you got all kinds of things happening to you during your life, and it's got you believing you're a grasshopper. And now you're asking God to help you get beyond this. The struggle comes and you go, God, I thought you loved me. Didn't you hear me ask you to help me? And God said, I'm trying. But you got to embrace struggle. You got to learn how to fight.
Yeah.
I don't know if you notice now, we're at war. Yeah. I love this scripture, Ephesians 6:10-12. Find my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wow. This is war. This war is daily. Satan does not take a day off. He does not have a vacation day. He doesn't call in sick.
Yeah.
You say, what? It would be so bad if I could just rest a little bit. Well, your enemy's not resting.
That's right.
He's bringing everything he's got to you. He's popping it to you as hard as he can pop it.
Yeah.
His daily attacks can come at any hour. They're powerful because your own strength is not enough, and it's all inclusive. No one in this church is excluded. No one in your family, no matter what their age is. I should think, well, once you got up to a certain age, it would calm down. Nope. I haven't found that age yet. Has anybody found that age yet where it'll calm down? Anybody? Matter of fact, I think it builds up, because the stronger you get in God, the stronger the attacks are. So remember this. Here's that struggle. He left them in there to produce struggle. They need to learn, again, like I said, they need to learn how to fight. Let's read this, Psalm 18:34. He teacheth my hands to war.
Yeah.
So that a bow of steel is broken in my arms.
Yeah.
He speaks of the ordinary doing the extraordinary. Superman can bend bars of steel. Benny can probably bend bars of steel. But God said, when I get through with you, you're going to be able to break them.
Yes.
One of the most powerful things in the world, one of the most toughest substances back in that day was steel. And he said, you're going to be able to break it.
Yes.
When I get through with you, you're going to be able to fight. And not only are you going to be able to fight, but you're going to be able to break the weapons of the enemy. So here it is, watch. He says, so we got to be dependent on God for guidance. It says he teaches, that's guidance, our hands to war, that's strategy. A bow is still broken, that's the purpose. And strength is broken by my arms. God's got you. Something special is going to happen. It's number one, God wants us to learn how to fight. I got seven things this morning. I won't take a long time. That was one. I love this. Don't let the struggle break you. Instead, be the one to break it. So it can show you the blessings behind it. Number two, he let the giant stand the land because giants distinguish the difference. Listen carefully. Between professors and possessors. I hear a lot of talk. A lot of people talking, but they don't put any walk with that talk. They talk about it, they talk a good fight, climb in the ring. They never actually, when it's time to fight, they're gone. It's one thing to confess the promises of God. It's another thing to strap on your sword and go toe-to-toe with your giants and possess your promises. Yeah. Amen? So, you can find that there's a lot of people that are talking it, but they're not walking it. Number three. Giants expose the grasshoppers in the crowd. When grasshoppers show up, when giants show up, that's when grasshoppers speak up. Those 10 spies, it's like God said, but we can't do this because these guys are too big. The cities are too big. The walls are too thick. We'll never be able to do it. Something about grasshoppers. They usually blend into the environment where you can't even tell it. But as soon as the giants come, you find out who's a grasshopper and who's not. Number four. I love this. Trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Psalm 50, 15. Number four, you're in the promised land, you're in your struggle. You're in the middle of struggle. You get to know yourself. I remember back in the day, we go shopping for groceries. Food Lion came to town. When Food Lion came to town, they had the Food Lion brand stuff. And we go and we start buying food and buying stuff, and I try to get the Food Lion brand because it was always so much cheaper. My wife said, get the Lipton tea. Always use that. Make sure you get Lipton tea. Well, you know what? Lipton tea was about $1 back then. And the Food Lion brand was 50 cents. So I said, I'll get that 50 cents. I'll save me 50 cents. So I looked at the ingredients. It had the same kind of ingredients. It said everything was the same. And so I said, I'll just get this. This will be fine. Save me 50 cents. Nowadays, it's more like $5. And I went home. And wife said, what'd you do? I said, I got Food Lion tea. She said, I asked you to get Lipton. I said, yeah, but I just saved 50 cents. The ingredients are the same, same kind of tea, everything. So the next night, she went and made that tea pitcher with the same amount of tea bags that she used to use with Lipton. And it tastes like we were drinking colored water. You see, you never know the true strength of a tea bag until it gets some hot water. Some of y'all, you never know your strength until you get in hot water. You never know what it's like to tug on God and God tug you back until you get in hot water. And when you get in hot water, now you get to see what's going on. It's so easy when you're riding around, everything's fine. You're looking fine and divine and everything's cool. When the doctor says cancer, when the job says it's over, in the hot water, that's when the true strength is discovered. You're really discovered when you're under pressure. You know, if you take a lemon, and people choose to identify. I choose to identify. I'm a guy, but I choose to identify as a girl. I'm a blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I choose to identify as skinny. Matter of fact, I'm a trans slender.
I'm going to use that.
You can take an orange and you can squeeze it and say, great job! squeeze whatever's in you is what's going to come out. Number five, not only get to know yourself, you get to know God. Because then you realize without Him, we're sunk. I saw DC praying one morning and said, God, I said, you need to ask for Jesus to come help me. He said, God, we need help, man. He says, I don't need you to send Jesus. I need you to send you. He said, I don't need them, son. I need the big boys. I said, son, He is one of the big boys. He said, yeah, but I'm your son. Look at me. I said, yeah, but that's different. Jesus is not small. You realize that God's your only help. And when God's your only help, you'll realize He's all that you need. Number six. This is where a lot of marriages break. Struggles test your level of commitment. I've seen some people, like I said, you start out, we got this! And after a couple of days, you go, maybe you don't have it. Matter of fact, I don't think God was that saying that after all. The only way to truly gauge your level of commitment is through struggle. You've heard the story before, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to tell you about this. The little boy, they caught two caterpillars. He took these little caterpillars and he stuck them in a jar, put leaves in it, little sticks. And something happened really strange. Jocko's cat, he fed them, made sure they were taken care of. And one day he got up and looked, and those caterpillars were gone. There was just two cocoons. And so he watched those cocoons, and he watched those cocoons, and he watched those cocoons. And finally he noticed those cocoons started moving. One cocoon, that little thing was moving in there, moving and moving. Pushing and all kinds of stuff was going on. All kinds of stuff was happening in that cocoon. And finally he saw it break through. When it broke through, he started to see a caterpillar. I mean, a butterfly. Didn't even look like the same thing that went in that cocoon. And as he started getting out, he finally pushed and pushed and pushed, and he got out, and the struggle was so tough. And then he climbed up on the stick and put out his wings. And let them dry. And then he started flapping them, and the little boy opened the jar and the butterfly flew away. He said, man, that was a terrible struggle. So the next one, it started moving. He said, I'm going to save him that trouble. So he got out of the bar that night, went inside, and cut that cocoon right down the middle. He took that caterpillar, the cocoon, landed on the table and spread the cocoon out and said, be free, little one. I'll save you from all that struggle. And it could barely open its arms or wings. It could barely take its wings out. Wings never really opened up fully. It could barely move, and it finally just crawled over somewhere and died. Why? Because life was in the struggle. The change was in the struggle. The completion of metamorphosis was in the struggle. When that caterpillar goes inside of that cocoon, spins that cocoon, metamorphosis, it turns into jelly. And now it turns into jelly, and it is reconstructed as a butterfly. But in order for a butterfly to be able to work and do its thing, have its wings working, it has to work. It has to struggle to get out of that cocoon, because as it struggles, the juices flow through the wings, and the juices flow to the edge of the wings, and whatever he needs gets going through his body. And when, by the time he busts out of that thing, he's ready to go. One thing I learned in counseling, and I definitely learned this last 4 years at Lee, was so many times you want to help people out of the struggle, not realizing that you're preventing God from completing the metamorphosis in our life. Struggles test your level of commitment. And number seven, then we're getting ready to leave. Number seven, faith is not immune to trials. It is fueled by trials. Y'all say that with me. Faith is not immune to trials. It is fueled by trials. Number seven. Struggles qualify you for the reward. When David came up on Goliath, David said, "What's the reward for taking this man down?" And they told him, but the reward was not there for those that started. The reward was there for those who were to take him down. The Bible said, and the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely, surely to defy Israel he has come up. It shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in all Israel." The man who comes up takes on the struggle and kills Goliath. Some of y'all right now have no idea how great the other side of this struggle is going to be. You may be in any part of this struggle right now. You may be in that cocoon trying to get out, wondering why somebody's not helping you get out of that cocoon, or wondering why God's allowing you to be under that kind of pressure. Or you're being pushed from all sides. It's dark in that cocoon. You can't see what's going on. It's dark. You can't move. You're trying to move the best way you can. And as you're trying to move out of that cocoon, you're thinking God has left you. He has cursed you. But instead, what God is doing is He's doing something in your life. He's making a new creation out of you that nobody's ever seen. But you got to not give up in the struggle. And finally, Randy, get ready to play something, brother. Here it comes. Don't say here it comes.
Here it comes.
Thank you, Lord, for my struggles. For without them, I would have never known my strengths. Amen. Watch this now. Be careful. Let's watch this. The giants have been in the land a long time. They were not going to go out without a fight. Some of y'all have been fighting giants for a long time. Every time you raise your head, the giant pokes it back down. Every time you think you're getting somewhere, here comes the giant. And you say, "Well, I'm a grasshopper." And you run back into the little grasshopper hood. Yeah. It's going on and on and on and on and on. Are you ready to get rid of the grasshopper complex? Are you ready to see God do something? Are you ready?
Yeah.
These giants have been in Canaan for generations. These giants were negative, they were destructive, and they were stubborn. Some of us right now, there's giants in our life that's been there for years. They're negative, they're destructive, they're stubborn, they're not just coming at you. You gotta fight. How? You must hold on to the vision. You must refuse to quit the struggle. And you need to trust God for strength and results. I'm getting ready to close with this last set of remarks. Don't get discouraged when everything doesn't change overnight. I've seen the time I got into service, I got so excited I could go outside and fight hell with a water pistol. I jumped out the door and didn't have to find a water pistol or hell. They found me. Don't get discouraged when it doesn't happen overnight. War takes longer. Cost more than we can expect. We've noticed that, haven't we, with Iraq, Afghanistan takes a lot longer and costs more than we could ever expect. But victory is certain. Y'all say this, victory is certain through the grace of God. Say this with me. Victory is certain through the grace of God. One more time. Victory is certain through the grace of God. Now give God a hand clap. God is awesome. And God wants us to step up and watch what He can do.
Yes.
Amen. Everybody please stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It amazes me to see what God can do in our life. It also amazes me how many people give up just before they make it. I read a story behind a mountain climber one day, and the mountain climber said that these high mountains that people were climbing, halfway up the mountain was a cabin. The cabin was there for those that halfway up got tired of climbing and just couldn't stand the struggle anymore. The cold, the bitter cold, the treacherous landscape, the possibility of frostbite at any time and losing your life. About this cabin that was there for the people halfway up, decided it was too much for them. They would get into that cabin. And the man said he'd seen it time and time and time again. And the people that split from the party and went in that cabin got warm, got something to eat. They're looking out. And says they're watching the other ones as they march up and climb that mountain. He said every last one of them had a look of defeat in their eyes because they gave up before they had a chance to conquer the giant. Today, every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be here. You may be fighting giants on two or three fronts. You may have a giant at work and a giant in your family, a giant in your own life, a giant in your community. You're fighting giants everywhere you look. You may be in that cocoon right now. It's dark. And it's cold, and you can't breathe, and you can't move. And you wonder why God is allowing you to be in this tight space, not knowing that a metamorphosis is taking place. And when you come out of this thing, you're going to be a different person. Whatever it is, I challenge you today to not give up. God left the giants in the promised land to produce struggle. And He left the giants in your own life to produce struggle because He don't want you weak. He wants you to have a spiritual edge. He wants you to be thankful. And He doesn't want you to be spiritually lazy. God's got you. God's got you. God's got you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, first off, you're here, and the first giant in your life is your relationship. so you kind of serve God from the shadows. I challenge you today to step beyond that grasshopper mentality and let God do a work in you, a renewal in you. Use you like you desire to be used more. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If I'm talking to you right now, you really want God to use you more. You really want to get closer to God, but you don't feel worthy or able, or you've been too bad. But nobody looking around, would you put that hand up? That's me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I just got that grasshopper complex. I step up and I get slapped down. I step up and get slapped down. I step forward and get slapped down. And I'm tired of getting slapped down. And so I just went ahead and crawled up in my little grasshopper hut. At least I'm safe there. Let me tell you something, you're not safe there. There's some very powerful ships that have been built over the years. They're safe in that harbor, but that's not what they were made for. They were made to go out and cruise. You're made to go out and take on the giants. Mentality has really grabbed you and got you running backwards instead of forward, stepping backwards instead of stepping up, nobody looking around, every head bowed. We just put that hand up and say, I've been hit by it, I've been hit hard, I'm ready to see God do something. I'm ready for God to do something. Touch them right now. Touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Touch them. Let them feel your anointing. Let them feel your power. Let them feel that call. Let them feel what you got going on and what you want to do with them. Because what you got going on is more powerful than that grasshopper complex has ever been. Maybe you're here and you're saying, look, I don't have a grasshopper complex, but these giants sure are wearing me out. And they're wearing me out. But this cocoon is wearing me out. And I just need God to prop me up on the weak side. One more time. Just put that hand up. Lord, just prop me up. Prop me up on the weak side. Let's pray. Ready? Father, I love you. I praise your name. I rededicate my life to you. And I thank you, God, that you are all power. And that you are all authority. And that you give us the ability and the authority and the power to defeat the giants that step before us. Lord, accept me just as I am today. But help me not leave here the same as when I came in. Help me be renewed and know that you got me. God, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brother, come on up here. Come on, guys. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. That's right. Stephen's standing in for Benny. Superman found some kryptonite. We're going to trust God to take care of that kryptonite problem. Fix him up. All right. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that you've got Benny.
Yes.
The Lord is going to kill him. The Lord is still walking around. Just like the three Hebrew boys, they were in that fire, they were walking around, they were not burned.
Yeah.
Couldn't smell the fire on them, that's the same way with Benny. Touch him right now, let it drain down,
yeah.
And then go ahead and fix it. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let this testimony be of how strong and how powerful you are.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus we pray.
Yeah.
This giant's got to go down. Y'all say it with me. This giant's got to go down. Give Lord another hand clap. God's got this. Amen. God's got this. All right. Next week is what? Easter? The biggest giant in the world was attacked on that day. And whooped. Amen. That's right. He was whooped. Something special. God's doing something special in here. Something very special. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. When we get to the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen.
Father God, it's an honor and a pleasure to be able to stand before you today, Father, and the sunshine you set upon us, Lord, for the words presented to our hearts, Lord. Father, we ask you to prepare us as we go outside, Lord, to carry the word to those, Father, that need to hear it, Father. We thank you for all the blessings of life. We thank you for the mercy and grace you pour out upon us, Lord.
Yes.
And we thank you for giving us all our many sins. Go with us now. Bring us back at the next appointed time. We give you all the praise, the honor, and glory that you deserve, Father.
Yes.
For it is in your Son, Jesus Christ's name that we ask this.
Yes.
And all this I do say, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.